And we are back. 1 hour to go. We're taking you up till 8 p.m. here on WWLAMFM.com and the Odyssey app. I'm Jeff Nowak. He's Bobby Hebert. And we're going to get into some Saints sound from the OTAs, the first of three practices that started yesterday. We got to talk to Derek Carr, and I thought he had some interesting comments on center Eric McCoy. I think we have those queued up, Charlie.
He's very smart. The first couple of times I could tell, you know, we'd get up there, we'd break the huddle, and he's making mic points. I'm like, all right, you got that one. We'll let you, because I'm just used to making the points and all that kind of stuff. But you could tell that you're like, at least he's right, you know. he knows it. He's smart. I sent him a clip. I don't even know when it was. It was right after I signed, I think. Some point I was watching film, and I sent him a clip of him running 40 yards down the field to make a block. And I just said, bro, this is so beyond impressive. If we get everybody to play like this, if we can lead everybody and teach everybody to play with that kind of effort, you know, it'll be a special place. You know, it'll be a special time, I should say. And that's just something that just stuck out to me because it wasn't just one time. Then I watched another play that's happened. I was like, I'm not going to text him 18 times, you know, but like it's like every time this guy plays so hard and he's so smart and he snaps the ball good. So that's always a plus when they – those little change-ups, not the high heaters. You know, those little change-ups are nice. So he's perfect snaps. Don't want to put pressure on him. Don't tell him I said that. But, you know, he's, you know, very impressive player. He's a Pro Bowl caliber player. You know, you see the talent. You see the smarts. And now, you know, hopefully we can get some, you know, wins to so he can, those guys up front can get recognized like they should.
There it is. I wrote about this on WWL.com today. You can go check it out. We also talked to Eric McCoy, and he said that the play that Derek sent him was from 2020. Whoa. And if you go back to week two of the 2020 season, there's that Alvin Kamara touchdown where Drew Brees just checked it down to him,
right,
like all the way to the sideline, and he just scampered for 50 yards. And Eric McCoy is just like setting the pace. Alvin never broke like faster than a jog. And I'm pretty sure that's the play we're talking about. And I think Derek Carr makes an excellent point. We probably take for granted that your centers are not typically the guys who are sprinting 40 yards down the field to make a
block.
Even
the whole offensive line, Jeff.
And he does it all the time. And he's just one of the things that he does that is just above and beyond. I think it's a good point. It was interesting to hear Derek pick
up on that. If you get offensive linemen then you really chewing them out if they're not sprinting at least for 10 yards, you know, to get to that second level, the linebackers. But to do that above and beyond, a lot of times you don't see that. You know, then they might have a burst, and then they're getting past 10, 12 yards, you see them hitting it in first gear, kind of throttling down.
Yep.
They're not like, running a wind sprint, you know, the old 40-yard dash type thing. No, so that goes a long way with Eric McCoy. Now, when I look at Eric McCoy, this might be a little controversial what I'm going to say, but I look at Eric McCoy since he's come on board. I think he's lived up overall to expectations.
Oh, yeah.
You know, center, guard center, whatever you're asking of him. Now he's going into his fifth year out of Texas A&M. Now, with that being said, I think he kind of took somewhat of a step back because who was playing alongside him? Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm not hating on nobody, but I'm just telling you, when he first came in, McCoy was like, yeah, he definitely looks legit. And then when they put Cesar Ruiz alongside
him. It was Warford when he was a rookie.
Yes, and he was like, oh, yeah, man. And then all of a sudden, Cesar Ruiz alongside him, and then, I don't know, it looks like he's staying the same or maybe – you know, because you know the guards tackle. I mean, guard centers. When you look at, I think like Max Unger, or you look at any combination we've had center guard center, how it's like a glove, and how they got that when they played together. Jeff, Carl Nix, before he went to Tampa, became the highest paid guard in NFL. Now he had the staff and all. But Tampa Bay took care of him. But him and Jari Evans, Jeff. They were winning, like, all the time. Yeah. It wasn't like, oh, we had 10 snaps. You know, breaking it down, they won 9 out of 10. No, they won 10 out of 10.
They were setting the tone, right?
Like setting the tone. They were mauling people.
Right.
Where I think with McCoy, And I'm not blaming Cesar Ruiz, but I guess I am, that McCoy was on a level, his trajectory, and then he kind of was like status quo. I think Cesar Ruiz playing alongside him, but I think now he's right now ready to take the next step. The one thing about Cesar Ruiz, because when you look at it, and I said this probably about an hour and a half, 2 hours ago, New Orleans started 10 different offensive linemen. Well, the one guy
last,
who played
last season, last season,
10. Now, you hope that number would be about 7 at the most.
You'd hope it's half that.
Yeah. It's, oh, five, yeah, you never have to change. But you could say 6 or 7, but not 10. But the point being with that, okay, who's in the rotation, is that out of all started 10 different offensive linemen, you know who always played last year? Cesar Ruiz.
Until he didn't.
Yeah, until he didn't at the end when he had to list Frank, right? Remember, he's playing the whole time.
Well, you bring that up. You know, one of the things that's changed the last two seasons for Eric McCoy, his first two seasons he played all 16 games. He was the model of health and consistency.
Right.
Last two seasons, he's missed five games and 4 games. So 9 games over the last two seasons, all with calf issues. And when you're a big guy and you can't run around, your calf's bugging you, that's probably
limiting. You can't explode and all that. No,
especially as a center, because you have to kind of get low in a way that other players don't. And I think that's, you know, when you say he might have taken a step back the last season, that's probably it, is you're dealing with injuries that when you typically hadn't earlier in your career. So hopefully he can get back to that form that he had.
I'm not saying Eric McCoy or Cesar Ruiz has got to be the next, Max Unger or Jari Evans and all that. You just need to be like you could count up on him.
Yeah.
You know what's the best thing for offensive linemen? Because I had a son who played center at LSU, went to the St. Louis Rams camp and all, is that when they never talk about you, that's the best thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the whole scenario situation. Think about this. If you're a deep snapper, and you're an unbelievable deep snapper, whether it's on a field goal, whether it's an extra point or a punt. You ever talk about the damn deep snapper? You never do. Until they're like, where the hell are we snapping the ball?
You don't even know their name.
Yeah, don't even know until they screw up. Like the same thing you take for granted now, because everybody in high school, they do a shotgun snap. Ever told you the story about how T-Bob came to be a center?
Probably.
That he wanted... I don't know. He said, Dad, you're a quarterback? I want to be a quarterback. And I'm like, 9, 10 years old, he's a big kid. He looks like a lineman.
Every family needs a Hyde Manning.
And so it was a scenario where I said, T-Bob, I know you want to touch the ball. I said, you know what? I say, play center, you get to touch it all the time. And that's one thing you take for granted, like a shotgun snap. You know, nobody never talks about that until you roll one back or you snap it over the quarterback's head.
Yep.
I mean, that happened to win the Tennessee game. The T-Ball's most famous play was like the clock. The clock's running down. Jordan Jefferson is looking to the sideline, and T-Ball almost like is right by where you're supposed to snap it, but Jordan Jefferson wasn't aware, but they had 13 men on the field. Mm-hmm. That was the Mad Hatter. That was the Riddler and Les Miles tricking him and don't even know he's tricking him with Dooley, Coach Dooley at Tennessee. And then they end up winning that game.
Yeah.
But that's why, listen, when you assign as a center or whatever, like offensive lineman, I tell you, a lot of times – they don't even talk about you. They talk about the skill people until you're getting your butt whipped. If you getting whooped, they go like, man, like a lot of times it might be on the, for instance, he was on our team last year when he whipped Cesar Ruiz and he hurt Drew Brees.
Kentavious Street.
Yes. And then all of a sudden he hurt Drew Brees. We weren't going to bring that up, but then he hurt Drew Brees. Well, who got whipped? So that's how you bring up Cesar Ruiz in that regard. So the offensive linemen, and I'm tired of saying this. I hope I can say this year plus more. Andrus Pete had one of the best games as a guard in the history of the NFL. Look at the game we went up to Buffalo when the fans left early in the third quarter. We were running. Andrus Pete was mauling people he had to block. I'm talking about crushing them. I mean, okay, why you did that one time? How about you do that like two or three handfuls? I mean, we haven't seen it because he has that ability.
I got a number for you. First 4 years of Eric McCoy's career before Derek Carr, he has snapped the ball to seven different quarterbacks. That's kind of wild.
That'll make a difference where if you always snap it to a Drew Brees-like guy.
Yeah, that helps a little bit. Yeah. All right, you can jump in on the Oakland Jewelers Talk and text line. Tell us what you think, 504-260-1870. Coming right back with more sports talk. Jeff Nowak and Bobby Hebert taking you till 8 p.m. on WWL.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Back here on Sports Talk on WWL AMFM.com and the Odyssey app. I'm Jeff Nowak alongside Bobby Hebert. Bobby, I know you have strong feelings about players showing up at OTAs. It's optional. I get it.
Yes.
They should still be there. One of my questions was, no, okay, Mike Thomas is there. Was this the plan all along? Did everyone but us know that he was going to show up? And Eric McCoy gave us some insight into that, and we have a bite here.
Did you guys know Michael Thomas was going to run out on the field today?
No, but I'm glad he's here, and I'm glad he's back. And, I mean, I saw him work. He's ready.
What can that, you know, just do for the team, seeing a guy like that come out here to voluntary practices?
Yeah, it's awesome. I mean, you look at what he's done in the past. He's one of the best receivers in the NFL. And just having him back out there working with us during a voluntary moment, it's exciting because you see that he's ready and he's working.
So it was just as big of a surprise to the offensive line as it
yes.
was to us.
that's why, look, Jeff, I'm glad some texter fan called me out yesterday because I was all over Michael Thomas. I said, well, yeah, he should be here. The Saints have handsomely rewarded him, so he needs to be a team leader. We need to get somebody on the offensive side because Derek Carr just got here. More like Cam Jordan-like or in double D, DeMario Davis. And then the texter called me out. Oh, Bobby, you always talking about Michael Thomas. What about Taysom Hill? I said, well, hell yeah. Oh, that's not a good – the Mormons wouldn't like that. But hell yeah, Taysom Hill should be here. Taysom Hill should be here. Alvin Kamara should be here. Marshawn Lattimore should all be here. Because once you finish playing football, you could be an introvert. Or you can go lead your life. But you're playing a great team sport, and it's not that demanding, the OTAs and what they're asking you to do. You can go and come in and out of town. Then you have the mandatory minicamp. That's why, look, if you don't want to live in New Orleans year-round, understand that with the workouts. But this is the best place, I think, if you would have team the camaraderie, to live in New Orleans year-round, have your kids in school and all here, and then you work out. Then when you finish playing, you live where the hell you want. And you do what you want. But I think it's imperative and important to be around the whole team concept, especially if you're a veteran and you put skins on the wall. I just think you should be here.
So what I'll say to that is I think I agree with you in the sense that if you want to be a team leader and be considered a team leader and be viewed a team leader by your teammates, you have to be here leading the team. That said, if you look at the players who are not here, I think – all of them would describe themselves as talks with their play type guys. Mike Thomas is very soft spoken. Ryan Ramczyk is not outspoken.
Right, right.
Alvin Kamara is very reserved. He will occasionally be that guy, but typically not. And I think that's kind of the common denominator between the players that aren't here is these aren't the guys who are typically going to stand up in the locker room and say, look at me, I'm going to show you, I'm going to set the tone for you. They're going to go out in the field and they're going to do that. And I think I think that's where you see, okay, these guys feel okay not showing up because that's why. Like Tyrann Mathieu will say, I want to be here because I want to lead these youngsters and you know I want to be a set of example for them. And I think that's the difference.
Well, yeah, and you look at Honey Badger, especially you want everything to be second nature. Remember how even in training camp, I don't know, for personal reasons, I don't know what happened, out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah.
What? No, we need you. We have two new safeties, yourself and Marcus May. What? No, we took a step back last year not having Marcus Williams, who went to the Ravens, and Malcolm Jenkins retired because we took that for granted. Now, I think they played better on the back end, But it looks like, I don't know, what's going to happen with Marcus May late July like Alvin Kamara? Maybe half of what, I mean, it might be three or four games Marcus May suspended.
You got a court date coming up.
Yeah, it's both late July.
Yeah.
It's the worst. I mean, before training camp, whatever.
Don't the courts know football season?
Or are there lawyers? I mean, well, why don't you address this maybe earlier?
You know, I think that's interesting. And when they set Alvin Kamara's court date, he actually had an option to have it earlier, and they declined it because they wanted the maximum amount of time to.
But the video's going to change?
I don't know.
Yeah, that's the only thing. I'm like, okay, I'd rather have this late May instead of late July. I mean, what's going to happen is going to happen. The video's not going to change. If you declare in self-defense,
well,
maybe
unless you're trying to settle.
Yeah.
Right. Unless you want to maximize the time you have to try to sort something out there. So I think that's a possibility.
Yeah, the guy they beat up, he's going to be a millionaire now. They whipped him.
Yeah, it's just a question of how many millions.
He's going to be a millionaire like Zion's new baby's mom.
Oh, gosh.
No, she's going to be a millionaire too. I mean, no, just have a baby for Zion. All of a sudden, yeah. Oh, come on, Zion.
You know what I'll say about Zion's baby? He might weigh as much as the Saints' new kicker. You know, he's about 157 pounds.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Zion's baby is going to be,
he ain't gonna be
a big boy. We got to see the Saints kicker, Blake Groupie, the UDFA they brought out of Notre Dame, kick for the first time. We saw him kick multiple times indoors. He went 5 for 5, 58 yards.
58 yards. Jeff, I was impressed. Now, let me see this guy kick. Now, he might be the smallest NFL player that I've ever witnessed. Now you might say, oh, he's a kicker, a bear, or a punter, or whatever.
Yeah, even for a kicker, he's small.
Yeah, you know, he's like 5'7", 150 pounds. But, boy, he got some power in that leg.
For
like
his
you
own
said,
safety, he should not go down and try to make a tackle.
No, he could be not only in a high school game, but a junior high game he could pass. Dude, 5'7", 150, but his leg was strong. And I tell you what, that's going to put a lot of pressure on Will Lutz.
And we talked to DA about this at practice, and Charlie, I think we got that queued up.
Yeah, look, he's kicking the ball well. And so I feel like we got, you know, two really good kickers. I think there's going to be some great competition throughout training camp, and I'm excited to watch it play out.
There you go.
Hey, competition should bring out the best in everyone. So now you look at Will Lutz, where he's at in his career, 8-year veteran out of Georgia State. You look at Groupie coming out of Notre Dame. And, listen, you want what's best for the team. I can tell you right now, talk about going from the penthouse to the outhouse. If you're a specialist, you start missing a few kicks. It's like, Jeff, what have you done for me lately? And then you're on a different team. Now, like Charlie was saying, everybody would want Tucker. Like with the Ravens, he's like a walking.
Oh, yeah, having a Hall of Famer. I mean, not having to worry about the position, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's amazing that consistency that they've had. But, you know, that's how we got Will Lutz.
Well, right. That's the thing. Who was Will Lutz before he was Will Lutz?
John Harbaugh, my understanding, called up Sean Payton and said, no, this guy could kick in the NFL, but we have the best kicker. So that's how Will Lutz ended up in a Saints uniform, because you don't keep two kickers, so. That's how we got Will Lutz.
No, and I will say, like, yeah, you can be a Hall of Fame kicker and still get cut.
Oh.
I mean, look at Robbie Gould. He's, you know, he was on the 49ers last season, I believe. And, you know, he was possibly a Hall of Fame kicker when he left the Bears.
Yeah.
But they still got rid of him. They still moved on, right? Like, Lawrence Tynes ended Brett Favre's career, effectively, with the Packers. He got cut 2 years later. I mean, it's not a guarantee. And if you have a couple down seasons, he's going to get a chance to bounce back. They're going to give him a chance to bounce back.
Without a doubt.
But he's got to do it.
Without a doubt. And you could still kick double-digit years in the NFL. That might not be only for one team. For instance, to show you how important the kicker is, the Buffalo Bills lost 4 straight Super Bowls. Now, think about this. Mm-hmm. Scott Norwood, when they lost to the Giants, come on, he makes that field goal. The Bills have the Bills Mafia and all. Now they say, oh, can you know, Jim Kelly, they went 4 straight times. They never won because the damn kicker. So you look at Scott Norwood. He can kick. He's an NFL kicker. But that's how important. Like feast or famine, dealing with kickers, you know, outhouse, penthouse and all. But that could change quickly.
Can you name the Saints kicker the year before Will Lutz?
Oh, we had a bunch of them then. When we were cycling them?
The one played 10 games.
That one, the guy with went to Washington. No. Who am I thinking?
He did play for Washington. Yep.
Yeah.
It's Kai Forbath.
Yeah, yeah. I used to call him. I'm not gonna say this kind of. No, you could say foreskin. Huh? I don't know.
Jeez. Yeah. Well, we probably shouldn't.
I know. But no, I remember when he was missing. That's what I was calling him, Jeff. I remember I was so upset. Come on, Forbath.
Just call him Four.
Yeah, Four. Yeah.
Four. Yeah. Oh man, you know, I am curious. So I thought Groupie stood out. The other guy that I think stood out through the first three practices, right? We're not going off that much.
Right.
We're only seeing what we see, right? There's two other days of practice we don't get to go to.
Right.
We don't know what's going on in the classroom and all that.
They practice more than we have witnessed.
Oh, for sure.
Because we've only witnessed three straight Tuesdays.
Yeah, right? And the second Tuesday, we barely saw anything because of the lightning.
Yeah.
But I think Jordan Howden has been impressive for a rookie coming in. I didn't know what to expect from him. He's a sixth-round pick. And I'll tell you what, when I made my first roster projection, I felt like, you know, one of those sixth-round picks has a chance to miss this roster. And I put him on the cut line initially because I just wasn't sure.
Well,
now I've swapped that, and it's A.T. Perry who I have on the bottom.
Okay, Jordan Howden, the rookie out of Minnesota, to me is going to be twofold. I think because he's going to learn and he's willing to learn, he's going to be a younger version of J.T. Gray.
Okay.
Now, if he can turn into J.T. Gray, J.T. Gray is like all pro. The six-year guy at Mississippi State, dominant. I thought we never could even get better on special teams because when we got rid of Chris Banjo out of SMU, I'm going, what? That guy's a stud. But then J.T. Gray was even better. Now, Chris Banjo went on to the Cardinals. And we had J.T. Gray. Well, you know, you've got to pass the torch. I think Jordan Howden has that great opportunity to be that younger version of special teams of J.T. Gray and also could contribute maybe on the defensive side, given the opportunity. Maybe they might say, hey, Bear, you're reaching on this one. But maybe like the safety version of Alante Taylor. Because Alante Taylor at cornerback to me, and listen, I like Paulson Adebo. Paulson Adebo had one of the best training camps I saw last August. Now, I didn't necessarily transfer throughout the season, but I think Alante Taylor has more upside than Paulson Adebo. But then you look at Howden, I'm really encouraged that not only as a special teams guy like a J.T. Gray, that he can have an immediate impact not only in special teams, but maybe be in that defensive back rotation at safety. Considering you look at like a guy like Marcus May, or you look at like Honey Badger, they're getting older. You need to almost like have guys that you're counting on, but young guys that you're developing so you could pass that torch. And I'm not saying you're going to miss a step or a beat, but it's not too extreme when that occurs.
Yeah, the other thing I'll say for Jordan Howden, and you know, when you get up close, you can really tell he's physically ready to play in the NFL, and that's not always true of everybody.
He looks the part, right?
Yeah, yeah. Like there's guys who get into the NFL, and I said this about Alante Taylor last year too. Physically, you can see them go out there on day one and compete at an NFL level, and you know, like there's a lot of rookies who come in that just aren't ready for that.
Right. They don't. You can see the future development, but they're not necessarily there right now. The other thing, Jeff, that I like about Alante Taylor, it's not swag, it's just confidence. Or it's not cockiness or whatever you describe it. He's saying...
it's confidence.
Confidence, Saints fans got to love this Houdat Nation. I want to be better than Marshawn Lattimore.
Yep.
And I think Lattimore's the greatest cornerback in Saints history.
Yeah.
Now, he's kind of weird. Can you keep his interest? Like, I still remember, I bring this up all the time. You let him guard like a top receiver. We all know the Tampa Bay matchup, and then he's motivated. That Vikings playoff game here, they threw five passes, I want to say, against him because he'd be disinterested and he would leave the receiver and not disciplined enough. The one guy, though, I think Mike and I talked about this, who kind of schooled them, maybe Justin Jefferson.
Yeah, I was going to say Justin Jefferson.
Yeah.
And Kadarius Toney randomly in that Giants game. And I think that's the type of receiver he doesn't want to play, is a guy who's not going to try to fight with you. He's going to try to just juke you out of your shoes.
It's not like Mike Evans and be all out physical you and all that.
Exactly.
But no, Lattimore, hey, listen, we need Lattimore to be an all-pro cornerback. That's in the best interest for us. Okay, look, all those games he missed – Look at the impact he had on the Eagles game in Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm. He won that game.
No, it wasn't Jalen Hurts, but pick six. Oh, we need a few more pick
sixes. They lose that game if they don't get a pick six. Even if that's just an interception and they kick a field goal, I think they lose that game.
Right, but that's what I mean. Can we have, because like the Darren Sharper version, whether it's a safety or corner on the field, how about a few more scooping scores and pick sixes? You remember in the Seattle game when Alvin Kamara got off and Pete Carroll was shocked? Didn't Von Bell have a scooping score and a fumble?
I think Von Bell had a fumble recovery every game.
Yeah. And then like scooping scored. And that's the magic you got to have in a season to truly be special. Oh, maybe this might be our year.
I agree. And I think we were talking about team leaders earlier. Alante Taylor is also a guy who I could see being a team leader, both with his head and his body. But all right, you can jump in the conversation at Oakland or Jewish Talk and text line. Let us know what you think. We'll be back here on Sports Talk. I'm Jeff Nowak. He's Bobby Hebert. This is WWL. Coming down towards the end here on WWL, I'm Jeff Nowak, filling in for Steve Geller. He's on vacation. Hope he has a good time out. I think he's out in Florida. But Bobby, I know you want to talk about someone who never takes vacation, except he did this year. That's a bad example. I shouldn't use that as a segue because he spent the whole summer in Spain. But you want to talk about Cam Jordan.
Right.
What are your thoughts on Cam?
Well, I think Cam Jordan, obviously, the administrators in the Saints organization, I think a lot of the fan base, myself, is like the poster child of a Saints player.
Yep.
I mean, how responsible he is year in and year out. Hopefully he could be a lifer for the Saints. Now he has the franchise record of sacks. He surpassed the great Ricky Jackson, the Pro Football Hall of Famer. Now Ricky went on to San Francisco, and won that Super Bowl. And then I think if Cam plays a couple of more seasons, he has a chance to surpass Ricky Jackson. But I think, I agree with Mickey Loomis here. I think I heard an interview with him when he said not only is he a Saints Hall of Famer, but definitely kind of worthy of the Ring of Honor. And then he's going to be in Canton and a Pro Football Hall of Famer. If you look at Cam Jordan, what he's done, he's led the Saints. He looked last year up in age of 8.5 sacks, 13 tackles for a loss in 2022. It was the ninth time, talk about answering the bell and being consistent, it was the ninth time in his last 11 seasons that he's led the team in sacks. So that's almost like double digits. So that didn't surprise me. He has started for 12 consecutive seasons and has averaged 10.5 sacks a year for the last 11 seasons. So you look at his accolades, you can go on and on. He's played more than 85% of the Saints' defensive snaps in the past 12 seasons. Okay, I'm going to read that again. Because he was on the pace where they got to force him to come out.
Yep.
Because he would be playing over 90% of the snaps. And the two games that he missed, it was one because of COVID, and the other one with his eye or whatever. So but he was ready to roll. But he's played more than 85% of the Saints' defensive snaps in the past 12 seasons. Now, I think he still have something left in the tank. I don't know. I'd say for sure two seasons, if not three. I think I would say beyond 2025, I'd be surprised with that. But you never know. Now, if that would occur, he would match Drew Brees as the longest tenured player in franchise history with 15 years of service. I think that is important to Cam Jordan, considering his legacy and what he's meant in a Saints uniform. And that assuming he stays healthy, because you look at like the great players, and I played against a couple of these, but you look at Purple People Eaters, a couple of them, you talk about 15 seasons, like Jim Marshall. He was the one that one time scooped and scored and like ran backwards. if you look at that, you probably YouTube anything, Jim Marshall, but he played 20 years, Purple People Eater. Carl Eller played 16 seasons. Now played against him, these two individuals. Bruce Smith with the Buffalo Bills, 19 seasons. Reggie White, 15 seasons. Well, you see him on TV now. Michael Strahan, 15 seasons. So I could see.
Hall of Famer.
Yeah, I could see Cam definitely along those lines.
But he can host a morning show when he's done too? Yeah,
because Michael Strahan does an outstanding job. Right. Amongst the longest tenured defensive ends in NFL history. Now, only Michael Strahan, though, play with the same team for his entire career when you look at all this list. Because, you know, Reggie White went from, he was the USFL when I, Memphis Showboats went to Philadelphia Eagles, then the Green Bay Packers. So I didn't realize that. Only Michael Strahan, 15 years with the Giants, and when you look at the whole, do you stay with one team? Now, he's already been to more Pro Bowls than any Saints defender. His eight invitations are second only to Breeze with 12. More than Hall of Famer, like Martin Anderson went to 6. Ricky Jackson went to 6. Willie Rolfe to 7. And if he averages 7.5 sacks a season for the next three, Cam will be his finish his career among the league's top 10 all time in sacks. Again, I can go on and on. And this would impress me this season, I remember. Jeff, were you here in 2017?
Yes.
Okay. Cam had in 2017, I can remember against Matthew Stafford, who was playing the Lions. Mm-hmm. How he has a knack. He ranked third on the team. He wasn't a defensive back. He had 11 passes defended. Yep. You know how you look at, like, passes defended? Oh, that's a DB. As a lineman, that's about instincts and studying film. 11 passes defended. I can remember. I think that one maybe he batted it and he picked it against Matthew Stafford when we beat the Lions.
Yep. Yeah, like another guy who stands out like that, J.J. Watt. They did very similar things. Yeah,
just
it's like playing against a tennis racket. But
yeah, exactly.
All right, we're going to go to break here, and we're going to come back for a short segment, taking you up to PM on WWL. Closing things out on the second half of Sports Talk. One of the big headlines today, Bobby, is Lionel Messi is going to sign with Inter Milan of the MLS. And we can get into this really quick. I just think it's funny. Can you imagine that in any other sport? It's like, okay, yes, you're like the, you know, Tom right. Brady goes and plays in the CFL because they're the only team that'll pay him.
Yeah. Now, Charlie, they went with like 10 days ago, a week and a half. I thought the Saudi Arabians, they were giving them some kind of ridiculous
deal. Yeah, it was like $600 million per year. That's what I thought as well.
Yeah, so what happened with that? And then this, that
there's another player that I think signed for about the same. I'm going to double check which one, but it's like $680 million per year with the Saudis. I'm just going to check which
yeah,
one.
Yeah, but when you look at Lionel Messi, though, it's kind of Cristiano Ronaldo. Where they're at in their career right now, it's almost like LeBron-like.
Yeah.
You know, they're up in age, but you still, because of fan interest and publicity, you want him in that number. Yeah. That makes sense, Jeff, right?
He's a celebrity soccer player.
Yeah,
now. He's not just a
exactly.
soccer player.
It's almost like Benham, like Beckham.
Yeah.
When Beckham.
Went to LA Galaxy, I think.
Yeah, he went to LA Galaxy. Yeah. He still could play, but he wasn't like the peak. It was on the back end of his career.
But he made money.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. exactly.
All right, well. Thanks, everyone, for joining myself, Bobby Hebert, Saints legend, the Cajun Cannon, and Charlie Long behind the glass. It has been a lot of fun. Hopefully, Bobby, maybe if you called up a CFL team, they would be like, we'll give you a couple million to come here and throw a couple passes. You think so?
No, right now I can't even throw out the first pitch. I mean, I was at the Biloxi Shuckers. I was like,
got to stretch.
No, we had Jabari Greer did it. He did an outstanding job at the Saints Hall of Fame function in Biloxi.
Okay, good to know. Got to stretch out those arms before you throw it. All right, Bobby, take us
all
out.
All right, bon nuit, les gens. Good night, people. Who that ghost Saints?